My gardener kidnapped my neighbor. It took weeks to find her body. Then he came to my house. Here's what happened. Subscribe to Am I the Jerk on YouTube and hit the bell for notifications. The story I'm about to share involves an active criminal case. I created a throwaway account and am going to keep a few details vague because I don't want to do anything that might cause this guy to get off with anything less than he deserves. Life in prison, if not the needle. This happened a few years ago, close to Christmas time. I work from home and have since the early 2000s. At the time, I was renting a house in a blue-collar middle-class neighborhood. One day, my son, who was in high school at the time, woke up with a raging headache, so I let him stay home. It was mid-morning when my doorbell rang. It wasn't unusual. The neighborhood we lived in was kind of a prime spot for door-to-door solicitors, Jehovah's Witnesses and the like. I yelled for my son to get it, because he was so much better at getting rid of those types of people. No joke. This kid has this deadpan stare that would make the devil flinch. Then I just forgot about it. It wasn't until later that night that I even remembered it happened. I asked my son who it was.
The landscaper.
Gary? That seemed odd. Gary lived across the street from me and ran his own landscaping business. He only came over once in the winter to do some basic maintenance, and he'd just done that the weekend before.
No, the other one. His son, I think.
That was even weirder. Gary's stepson had moved in with him over the summer. I'd like to claim that my instincts were strong enough to know that something was off with the dude, but honestly, I barely knew he existed. Sometimes he helped Gary do my yard, but for the most part, we never even spoke. Him coming to my door didn't make any sense. What did he want? My son shrugged it off.
He didn't say. As soon as I opened the door, he just said sorry and left.
Well, if it's important, he'll come back. This didn't come off as anything too concerning. From what I did know of Gary's stepson, he was awkward. Like, no eye contact, grunting a hello awkward. I gave a passing thought to going over to Gary's to see what he'd needed, but decided not to bother. It seemed so innocuous. It wouldn't be until a few months later that I learned it was anything but. I can't remember exactly how long after it happened, but it was probably less than a week before I got another knock on my door again early in the morning. This time, my son was at school, so I answered it. It was a police officer. They were canvassing the neighborhood looking for a woman who'd gone missing. She'd gone out for a jog a few days before and had never come home. The police were asking pretty much everyone on her route if they'd seen anything. I looked at the picture but didn't recognize her and let the officer know that. I never even thought about the weird visit from Gary's son because, honestly, who on earth would have connected the two? They found the missing woman's body a few weeks later. I learned about that on the news. Her body was left in a county burn pile. The kind that landscapers in my area use to dispose of yard waste. That's how they traced it back to my landscaper's stepson. About a month after they found her body, he was arrested. I didn't learn about the arrest until I got another knock on the door. This time it was a police detective. He was following up, because during the stepson's confession, he'd admitted that the jogger woman was a victim of opportunity. He'd seen her running past his house. It was at about 11 a.m. and no one was around, because it was a weekday and most people in our neighborhood were at work or school. So he'd chased her down and abducted her. He'd also informed the detective that he'd planned to kill a woman that day. Problem was, when he went to his original target's home, her 6-foot-230-pound teenage son answered the door instead. Realizing that trying to confront the kid would get his butt handed to him, he went home. He waited on the porch for a while, hoping that her kid would leave so he could try again. Then he saw the jogger. When the detective was talking, I was detached in a "why are you telling me all of this" kind of way. Then I remembered that weird visit from the landscaper's son, and I realized I was the target he was talking about. If my son hadn't stayed home, hadn't answered the door that day, I would have been the woman they pulled out of that brush pile. My son's testimony became pretty important. It was used to show that the landscaper's son wasn't nuts when he committed the crime, as he was logical enough to plan out a murder. He just didn't get to the person he wanted to, that person being me. I still have a lot of guilt about everything that happened. First, because I put my son in front of a cold-blooded killer. If that cold-blooded killer wasn't a wuss who only went after people weaker than him, that day could have gone way different. Second, because some other lady technically died in my place. Logically, I know it wasn't my fault.
But on that emotional, non-logical level, I feel bad because I know if I'd opened the door that day, that lady would still be alive, but I wouldn't be. And even knowing now what I didn't know then, I still wouldn't have answered the door. No, I don't think anyone blames you for that. This whole situation is incredibly messed up. This is just one of those unfortunate freak situations. Thankfully, just out of pure luck, you managed to avoid this awful situation. I don't think anyone would blame you for being happy or relieved about that, but I understand that it's only natural to feel some kind of guilt about what happened. It is a tragedy, but I hate to say it, at the end of the day, we'd always rather someone else go through a tragedy than us. Obviously, you didn't wish this upon the woman, and you didn't do anything intentionally. It's just the way things worked out. It's natural to feel guilty, but you're not the bad guy. Remember who the real evil is here. You can submit your own stories to be featured here on the channel. The story submission link is in the description below. And if you want to listen to some vibey music in the background, check out Easy Mode, also linked below. And don't forget to subscribe. Jerk executive producer thinks he can just throw money at any problem, but quickly learns it doesn't always work that way and loses all of his investors. I'm an audio engineer. Around 5 years ago, I was working at a very high-end facility with some amazing equipment. The studio looked beautiful. It was quite astonishing. Most of my time at the studio was spent recording musical artists and mixing their tracks. I was booked for an 8-hour block to mix some pre-recorded tracks that a producer was going to bring in. To clarify, mixing a song means taking all the individual instrument recordings and balancing the volumes and applying effects. After a song is mixed, it's sent to a mastering engineer who puts the final touches on it and makes it ready for distribution. In most cases, especially if it's through a record label, the mixing engineer and mastering engineer are two different people, since they're two different art forms that utilize different technologies. I like to research my clients before they come in. So I did some poking around on the internet and very quickly found out that the producer coming into the studio is a very accomplished producer who has worked with some amazing artists. I was thrilled. I hadn't worked with a producer of this caliber before. We'll just call him the producer. I made sure to get as much information as possible from the studio manager so that I could come into the session well prepared. My manager forwarded me an email from the producer that said they were just mixing a few songs. I asked if I was getting an assistant engineer to help. My manager told me that they actually requested that I don't have an assistant. That was a first, but I shrugged it off. I got to the studio early and prepped for as much as I possibly could. The producer and the band that he recorded arrived, so I started getting files and such from them to start mixing. As I'm doing this, I started to see a lot of red flags. The producer brought in 10 songs that he needed mixed and mastered today. Typically, I'll mix 2 songs in 10 hours, maybe 3 if I'm hauling and not taking any breaks and such. Furthermore, he wanted it to be mixed on our large recording console, the giant desk with all the buttons and faders and such, essentially bypassing the computer. I let him know the following. 1. Mixing 10 songs in 8 hours is going to be very difficult, and that I'll have to sacrifice quality moving that quickly, and that I'll do my best to mix the songs all in one day. 2. I'm not a mastering engineer, but I have experience mastering and can give him some masters that will suffice. I'll provide the files they can send to other mastering engineers as well. 3. Mixing on a console instead of a computer means that it'll be way more time-consuming since I would be turning physical knobs, pushing physical buttons, and connecting gear with cables, and keeping track of all of this. It also means that if they want any edits or changes after today, they'll need to book the studio for at least an additional 2 to 3 hours so that I can set everything up exactly how it was again. I figured that since the producer had worked with such amazing artists before, all of this would make sense to him. I got the impression that he either didn't care or more likely didn't realize. He was very nice, but quite dismissive, and essentially told me to mix it on the console. To add to my stress, I started finding all sorts of mistakes and issues in the recording that would take more time to address. Despite this, we worked really well together. I felt I gave him more than enough information about my concerns, so I complied with his requests, knowing full well that we were going to face a plethora of problems down the road. I got to work as fast as I could. The producer was quite eccentric, but we got along nicely, and he was thrilled with some of the tricks I was pulling out of my hat to address all these issues. At the end of every mix, I'd take copious notes on what physical buttons were pushed, what cables were connected to what, and all of that. I did this for every client I've worked with, just in case they ever wanted to come back and make edits to their records. Normally, I'll have my assistant or intern do this, but they specifically asked to not have an assistant or intern around. I was able to get through each of the songs somehow. I was honestly impressed with myself. The songs sounded good, but not great, as I didn't have enough time to make them great. They were happy with the mixes. The producer seemed quite surprised that they sounded the way they did, so I took that as a compliment. We ended on a good note, so I thought that was the end of it. A few days later, I get booked again for 2 hours. We normally don't book 2-hour blocks. It's just not worth it. However, I agreed to the 2 hours because there was another 8-hour session booked directly after. So it worked out perfectly. The studio manager didn't quite understand what I'd be doing in those 2 hours. The client was very vague and wouldn't answer any of our questions about what they wanted to happen in those 2 hours. I show up for the session and the producer from a few days ago was there. Before I can even say hello, a car that costs more than what I make in 2 years comes whipping through the parking lot. This guy jumps out and begins barking orders at me. I put together that this must be the executive producer. For background, an executive producer is essentially the guy that knows nothing about the process but has the money to fund it. It's a fancy name for the person who pays for everything. As he starts barking orders at me, about 10 more ridiculously expensive cars pull in. I learned that the executive producer brought possible investors for his new record label into the studio to listen to the mixes and watch the executive producer manage a team. After the executive producer greeted all of his investors, he instructed everyone to go into the studio. I tried to get him alone to talk to him before, but he responded with, "I'm gonna do all the talking, you're gonna do the work." He clearly wanted everybody to see how good he was at managing a production and such. He asked me to pull up the first song to play for his investors. I told him that if he wants to make any changes to the songs, I need at least 2 to 3 hours to set everything up before we can make changes. I told him I could play the songs for his investors, but I can't make changes unless I take the 2 to 3 hours to set up. I also said that I can't even do that today, since I have another client coming in 2 hours. As I'm saying this, I see the producer behind him smiling, clearly getting a lot of satisfaction from this. The executive producer literally turned red with anger and started yelling. I honestly couldn't understand half of what he said. When the executive producer stopped yelling, the producer cutely said, "I told you so." That's when I realized the producer had actually been the one who maliciously complied with the executive producer to some degree. This is my favorite part. The executive producer handed me a $100 bill and said something like, "You got 10 minutes to set it up." He did this in front of his investors. I'm not sure what he was thinking would happen. Some of them literally laughed out loud and walked out. I was sick of it. So I MC'd knowing that I could never set it up in time, making the executive producer look bad in front of his investors. So I started setting it up anyway. I didn't take the $100. As I was setting up, one of the investors came up to me and asked if I was actually able to set it up in 10 minutes. I told him it wasn't possible, so he turned around and walked out. About 10 minutes later, they all left because I didn't have everything set up yet. Later that week, the producer came back to work with me some more. We had a great working relationship from that point on. I talked with the producer about this whole thing, and he said the executive producer hired him to get his record label off the ground. The executive producer apparently didn't listen to anything the producer advised him on and treated him very poorly. So the producer decided to just comply with whatever executive producer wanted, knowing full well it wouldn't work out. He'd gotten sick of the executive producer's antics and just wanted out. The producer had informed the executive producer about everything that would go wrong before they booked me for the mix, and the executive producer completely disregarded him. The producer told me that the executive producer didn't want an intern or an assistant at the studio for the mix because he only wanted high-end music production people there. If assistant is in their title, they don't deserve to be there. It turns out that all the investors pulled out, and the band started to sue the executive producer for copyright infringement. That's a separate issue that I have no info on.
ButcherBox offers incredible deals on premium cuts that you can't really find at the grocery store. And sure, talk really can be cheap, but when my ButcherBox order came to my doorstep, I was surprised by not only how fast it got to my house, but also just by how much I actually got in my order. I mean, it's one thing to really customize your box and make a curated plan for what you want, but once it was sitting on my kitchen counter, that's when I realized this really is super convenient. Especially when I go to the grocery store and everything's so expensive now. And this, I think, is really where ButcherBox has come in clutch for me, because I now don't have to go to the grocery store nearly as much. I was able to save some money by having meat in my fridge from ButcherBox, and that's a massive win for me. Sign up for ButcherBox today by going to butcherbox.com/jerk and use code jerk at checkout and enjoy your choice of bone-in chicken thighs, top sirloins, or salmon in every box for an entire year, plus get $20 off. Again, that's butcherbox.com/jerk and use code jerk.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
I can literally picture this guy in my head. I feel like he sounds like a character on a TV show. I don't know if he realizes that he kind of is just a caricature of what he's supposed to be. While money can fix a lot of problems in the world, it can't fix something like this. You can't just make more time. Sometimes things take a certain amount of time if they're gonna be done right. This guy was clearly someone who just had a lot of money and was just trying to make some more in the music industry by starting up a label. It's unfortunate he knows nothing about how the process actually works. My favorite part of this is the investors literally laughing and walking up and getting out of the room. They could see how ridiculous this guy was immediately. I think they definitely made the right financial decision on that part. Post office said I couldn't file a complaint about the mailman not delivering my packages because I didn't have any proof. So I got it. For context, in my country, if your package gets sent through the National Post Service, you're basically screwed. It takes 200 years and they never actually deliver it. I don't know how it is in other countries, but here, they're supposed to ring the doorbell if the package doesn't fit through the mailbox. And if you don't answer, they leave a notice and you'll have to go pick it up all the way at the post office. The problem is that my mailman doesn't even try to deliver them. He just leaves the notice without even ringing the doorbell and leaves. I've had to pick up nearly every package I've ordered because of that. Well, the last time was my last straw. I was obviously home because of the pandemic. Suddenly, I received a call that immediately hung up. It was so fast that my phone didn't even ring, just showed up as a missed call. No doorbell, nothing. I suspected it was the mailman and ran to the door only to find him inside the truck looking straight at me before driving off. Well, I was ticked and called the post office to file a complaint. I explained the situation, and the lady told me that I couldn't file a complaint because they're only instructed to ring the doorbell, and calling is optional. Also, that I couldn't prove that he didn't ring it. At first, I just avoided using them again at all costs. But the other day, I ordered something and chose a delivery company from the ones listed on the website. Apparently, that company hires the National Post Service to deliver for them here. When I found out, I basically stalked the tracking info for days. It was about 2 weeks late, until one day, late at night, it said it had arrived in my country, which usually means that the next day it's going to be delivered. The next day, I woke up at 7 a.m. to check. My suspicions were correct. It said out for delivery. I quickly grabbed something to eat, got in my car, and parked right outside of my house. Then I waited, and waited, and waited. 6 hours in total, until I finally see the post truck pulling over. I grabbed my phone to record, and watched as the mailman opened the door already with the notice in hand, slid it inside my mailbox, and turned around. I got out of the car and said, "Excuse me, what are you doing?" He didn't even look at me, and said, "Just delivering packages, miss." Then I stood there as that jerk grabbed his phone to call me and quickly hung up. I smiled as I took my phone out of my pocket and sarcastically stated, "Oh, bummer, you didn't even give me time to reach for the phone." He literally turned white, couldn't even speak. I continued, "Now, can you give me my package, please?" He quickly opened the truck, almost tripped, and took out my package. "See, wasn't that easier than your whole scheme?" He finally manages to say, "Sorry, miss." I turned around and left. He probably thought he got lucky I didn't say anything else. But little did he know that I sent that video to the post office via email attached to my complaint. Well, let's just say I have a new mailman. This one tries to leave 1 second after ringing the doorbell, but at least he rings. The real problem here is how tight of a schedule these guys are actually on and how quickly they're expected to clear their route. It's why they take shortcuts like this. I'm not saying it's right by any means. The fact of the matter is, the job's just really hard to do the way they're supposed to do it. As a result, they end up trying to save as much time as possible, which includes stunts like this. I've also been the victim of this situation, where they didn't even try to actually deliver, and just give you the notice for you to go pick it up yourself. It's incredibly frustrating. They had your package right there outside of your place, but couldn't be bothered to go into the back of the truck and actually pick it up and put it in front of your door. Instead, they're gonna make you take time out of your day to make a special trip to go get it. It really is kinda stupid. They're paid to do this. If you're gonna hold them to such accountability, maybe have more than one person delivering that route. I don't know, but there's gotta be a situation where the people trying to receive their packages aren't the ones suffering. When you subscribe, make sure to hit the bell to turn on notifications. Put the playlist on in the background to finish listening to all the stories. Or if you want to listen to some vibey music in the background, check out Easy Mode. If you like Am I the Jerk, give Am I the Genius a shot. Everything linked in the description.